الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال عذني وأوجز فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قمت في صلاتك فصل صلاة مودع ولا تكلم بكلام تعذر منه غدا وأجمع الإياس مما في أيدي الناس رواه أحمد. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, brothers and sisters listening over the receiver, the hadith that I have quoted to you today, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, the illustrious Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says that a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me some advice, but let it be brief and concise. But before I continue with this hadith and the explanation of this hadith, I think it is important that we should understand the narrator of this hadith. Many times we just go into the hadith itself and we don't make much mention of the biography, the brief biography of the Sahabi. These Sahaba were like shining stars, and therefore by reading about them, listening about them, we will engender in our hearts love for them and we will want to emulate them. Very briefly, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, his real name was Khalid bin Zaid. And he was that very fortunate Sahabi in whose home Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resided for 7 months when Nabi Kareem came to Madinah Munawwara. And if you look in the books of history and seerah, we know that he had told the Sahaba, the Ansar, who were each one trying to bring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to live with them. Each one of them had gone out of their homes and had this desire that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come and settled down in my house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that leave this camel. فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورًا, it has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever this camel will stop. And that is the place or the closest house there, that's where I will live. So it came down in front of a empty plot of land, and very close by was the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an. And then it stood up, went forward and came back again and settled down there. The moment this happened, Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala became overjoyed. He was delighted. He rushed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he removed the belongings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the camel's back. And he entertained and he welcomed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because imagine, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be his mihman, his guest. He had a double story house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Abu Ayyub, you stay on top with your wife, I will stay down. Reason being that many sahaba will come to visit me and I will be so busy with them. We don't want to keep on interrupting you if you are staying downstairs. Now, this is consideration, this is akhlaq, this is adab of Islam, this is sharia. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu goes with his wife and he is living upstairs, but that night he is restless. The thought comes to him, how can we be standing above the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He is downstairs. How can we be sleeping above him? He is below us. The entire night they did not sleep. It is mentioned in the books of Sirah that they went right to the corner of the room where they knew that definitely Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam bedding is not below them, directly below them. So the next morning, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, we were restless last night. We did not sleep the entire night. Why?" He says, how could we sleep above you and stand above you when you are the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where's the respect? Where's the, your ihtiram, your ikram, the ta'zeem? Nabi sometimes, do not worry. I have to live downstairs because the sahaba would need me at odd hours and I do not want to disturb you. So very reluctantly he goes back again. But a few nights go past and suddenly one night they had a jug of water and it slipped from their hands. And we know the flooring was not like the concrete flooring we have today. It was made of tree trunks. So the moment this happened, immediately they had just one shawl, husband and wife had just one shawl as a blanket that they were using to, that they used to cover themselves. He takes that shawl and he begins to damp or dry off that water so that it must not penetrate through the ceiling and fall onto Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving him taklif. After this, he could not take it any longer and he said, "Ya Rasul, please, I beg you that let me stay downstairs. It will be more easier for myself." Nabi Kareem Sam then agreed and then he stayed upstairs. But for 7 months, Nabi Kareem Sam lived with him. It is mentioned when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even after that, when he was living in his own home and the masjid was built, and Nabi Kareem Sam's wives' quarters were made, when he would live with his wives and Sahaba would send food for him, then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would partake of the meal. And then the remaining of the food, he would leave a few morsels and he would send for Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife. And they would look at the plate and look for the traces of the finger of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever his finger went on the plate, they would look for that, search for that, and they would pass their fingers on the same place. It's a very beautiful story when once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar, I'm going to curtail the story because we have the whole hadith to discuss. And if it's not finished today, then inshallah we'll continue this next week also, inshallah. If Allah Ta'ala give us life and sihat. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, it was midday, extremely hot. But both of them are found wandering the streets of Medina. And suddenly they come across Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them, "What's the matter with you? Why are you walking in the heat of Medina?" "Ya Rasulullah, we are extremely hungry. Hunger has driven us out of our homes." Now remember, the Sahaba, they could endure all types of hardship. They could endure hunger. They would tie stones to their belly. So imagine the extent of the hunger and the pangs of hunger that drove them out of their homes. Nabi Kareem some replies and he says, "You know what? It is the same thing that has driven me out of my home." So the three of them go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first place he goes is to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Knocks on the door, his wife is there, he makes salam. "Where's Abu Ayyub?" So she's about to say that he is not at home when he hears, he is in the back of his house or in the field nearby, he hears the salam of Rasulullah sallam, he comes running forward, absolutely overjoyed. "My Nabi sallam has come to my house. Ya Rasulullah, what has brought you now at this time of the hour?" He said, "Abu Ayyub, we are hungry." Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala makes Nabi Kareem some, calls him in, comforts him, make him sit down, and then he says, "I'm coming just now. I will go and slaughter a goat." Nabi Kareem some tells him, "Do not slaughter a goat that is giving milk. Otherwise you lose the milk also." Finds a suitable goat, slaughters it. In the meantime, he brings branches of dates, different types of dates, fresh, the rutab, which we eat in the month of Ramadan, the dry date, the tamar, busrun, variety of dates with the branches, and he presents this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they are busy partaking of the different types of khajur. In the meantime, he slaughters the animal, it is skinned and already is being cooked, while his wife, she makes the rotis. He brings this, presents this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem is busy eating with his Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And suddenly he says, Abu Ayyub, just take a piece of this roti and some meat and give this to my Fatima. For days on end, she has no food to eat also. So he goes and he runs and gives it to Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nevertheless, after they partook of this meal, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that we had variety of dates. We had this meat to eat. We had this bread to eat. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to question us on all these ni'mat that He has given us. These bounties, despite our being hungry, how did we acquire this rozi? After acquiring this sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what type of a'mal and actions did we produce? After gaining strength from this food and energy, did we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or did we go and indulge in haram? Allah will question us on the day of Qiyamah. What type of shukr did we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi Kareem taught them a beautiful dua also, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after eating meals. So we should make shukr with our tongue and shukr with our jawarih, with our limbs, and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was very old. He participated in every battle that the Sahaba participated in. He was plus minus 80 years old when they were going with the son of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. It was the rulership of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala at that time. And the Sahaba was sent to Constantinople, that is Turkey today. And Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala became very ill. But as he is going, he makes a last wasiyat. And he says, just whatever happens, you carry my body even if I pass away in the path of Allah. And the nearest place you bury me. So he passed on, he passed away there, whilst in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's buried under one of the pillars of Constantinople. So on the day of Qiyamah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see that I passed away in his path. These were the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. So Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu says that a man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice, but let it be brief, concise. Now he's not being rude to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he's being sincere. Many times we say, Mawlana, give us some nasihat, give some advice. So the alim, the scholar, the sheikh, give some advice. But we, the listeners of that advice, sometimes it is not palatable, we cannot take it down. But we just ask for the sake of asking. We didn't have that sincerity. We had no intention to practice on whatever he's saying. And so many times we leave his presence and then we say, no man, what he's talking is not right. Ma'adallah. Sahaba was serious. Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. Let it be brief and concise so that I could practice on this and please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on different occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave different answers. Somebody, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells him, Birul Walideen, that be respectful and obedient to your parents. Somebody, Nabi Kareem tells him, that perform your salat on his time. Somebody, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells him to go for hajj. This particular sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells him, Salli salata muwaddi'in. Perform salat of a person who is bidding farewell. Now we're not talking about namaz being compulsory and our performing of 5 times farz salat. That has been taken now for granted or understood that the sahabi is performing definitely. All the sahaba perform the 5 times salat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not showing him now that now you must perform 5 times farz salat in the masjid. All that now has been understood by the sahabi long before he has come and asked this question. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not revising that lesson of the namaz being compulsory and you should read in the masjid, etc. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now focusing on is the takmeel of the salat. The perfection of one salat. How to make our salat beautiful in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here for salat. May Allah accept our salat. We come 5 times a day and we perform our salat.
But the manner in which we perform our salat, that is something we should question ourselves about. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings to his attention, صَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ, perform salat like that person who is bidding farewell. The commentators of the hadith say two meanings. One is, that person who is bidding farewell, he is abandoning, he is leaving, he is forsaking everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he has left his shop behind, his business behind, his wife, his children, his leisure, his pleasure, his comfort, all other thoughts of every other thing. مُسْتَغْرِقًا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Now he is going to be absorbed, consumed in this communication with his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes, I'm not standing before any ordinary human being. I'm standing before the Creator, before my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has in his heart the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he prepares prior to his coming for salat. He makes his wudu correctly. He conditions his mind. The moment the adhan is given, his face changes color. His thought is now directed towards the house of Allah. He leaves his business. He leaves all other matters unless if it is something very urgent. Sometimes the doctor has to see some patient. It's an emergency person. Life is being just something else. We are talking in normal circumstances. So he throws back, throws away everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is completely intent, focused, absorbed, consumed, directs his mind fully to the fact that he is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is watching him. So it is as though he is watching his Allah, and he is aware and he is conscious of the fact that Allah is watching him. This is what you call of maqam al-ihsan, that stage a person has. He becomes so conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is as though he is seeing his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least he is mindful of the fact and aware of the fact that Allah is watching him. We will just stop at this point here and reflect on our own selves. You know, there was a very famous story, and we've heard many times, of one imam performing salat. It was Asr salat, 4 rakat salat. And after the salat, there was some confusion. There was a difference of opinion among the musallis. The imam himself was not sure how many rakats he had performed. Some saying 3, some saying 4. One person comes up and he takes a qasam in Allah. And with conviction, he says, Marana, I promise you only 3 rakat salat. Okay, you're promising, then how sure are you? He says, Maulana, the first rakat, when you started, I went and visited my first shop. Second rakat, second shop. Third rakat, I was busy with my third shop. I was still busy with my third shop, and you made salam. I got one more shop left. So I knew definitely you only perform 3 rakat salat. The moment we say Allahu Akbar, let us be honest to ourselves. Nobody knows what's in our heart besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us. The moment we see Allahu Akbar, we have planned out our holidays. We are busy offloading the containers. We are busy marking the goods. Sometimes we have sold so many goods in our salat. We are busy planning our meetings for the day. Sometimes if there's some argument at home, we are already planning what we're going to go tell the wife when you go back home. And what arguments you're going to present and how you're going to behave. Totally distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become ghafil, unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not bid farewell to everybody and everything, to our dukan, to our makan, to our families and all our leisures and pleasures. We have not forgotten, or we have not left them out, instead of focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned about Ali, the son of Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala an. The moment the call of adhan was given, the color of his face would change. He would become pale. Somebody asked him, "What? Why?" He said, "Don't you know in front of whom I'm going to stand now? I'm going to stand before my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." When a person is focused, take the world for an example. Examples of the world. Person is a marksman, or he's hunting. Now he's got the animal. He's got his gun. He's got his rifle and he is targeting that animal. He is focused. He won't even move for a second. Every limb of his mind, his heart, his concentration, he is focused. No sound whatsoever. One miss and he's lost the animal. But take for example a pilot. It's a very stormy day and he has to land. 200 or 300 passengers he's got in the plane of his. Or a father who's traveling on the road. And he cannot see very well because it's pouring. And he's got his young children, he's got his whole family. How careful he is. He tells everybody to be silent now. I need to concentrate, I need to focus. He is not unmindful of whatever he's focusing on. He's completely absorbed. Single-minded. Or say a person who's been traveling and he's fasting, month of Ramadan, now he has to make iftar. And he knows what time is iftar, but now he's looking at his watch. That exactly when it's 5:30, for example, not 1 second more, I'm extremely hungry. I'm make sure he's looking at his watch all the time. So exactly 5:30 I must make my iftar. There's so many examples. I don't want to give the example of watching a football match. We all know. It's a final goal. Which is going to say who's the winner. The father silences everybody. Everybody must keep quiet now. Everybody, quiet. I'm watching. This is very important. My respected brothers and elders, we come for salat. It is mentioned a person performed 60 years salat. 60 years of salat, not one salat was accepted. Why? There was no khushu. There was no khudu. He did not complete his ruku or sajda correctly. Man aswa'un nas. Who is the worst of people? Sariqatan, as far as stealing is concerned. Who is the biggest rogue and thief? Nabi Kareem says, that person who steals in his salat. لا يتم ركوعها ولا سجودها. He does not complete his ruku properly. He does not complete his sajda properly. He does it haphazardly. He has hardly even stood up after his ruku properly. In the qoma position. His hair has just slightly come up from ruku and is already in sajda. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that salat makes a curse, a bad-dua. ضَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy you how you've destroyed me, the salat says. Then it is lifted. And it moves حَيْثُ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, wherever Allah wishes it to go. And then it is wrapped like a rag, a dirty, worn, tattered and torn cloth and thrown on the face of the person. Allah Ta'ala takes the salat and checks it back on the person's face. I do not need your salat. These are important lessons for us, respected brothers and elders. How we can get over khushu and khudu in our salat. First of all, salli salata muwaddi'in. Say al-wida' with farewell to everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma siwallah. And our hearts must now be consumed. Not only our limbs. Person can be standing still. But his heart, his mind must be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he must reflect and ponder over the meanings of what he is reading. Now many brothers will say, or sisters will say, Maulana, we don't understand Arabic. Fair. But how many years of our life have passed, we don't even know the meaning of Surah Fatiha? قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدٌ. Those basic surahs, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Surely we can make some type of effort to learn the meanings of these few surahs that we recite in our salat. Then see the enjoyment of our salat. My Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, may Allah give him jazai khair, give him sihat and afiyat. He's mentioned in one of his kitabs that when a person is saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, just concentrate on the fact that Allah has used the word Rabbi. Mera Rabb. Allah didn't say, just say, praise your Lord. Allah say, we are saying in our ruku, what are we saying? Wallah, I glorify you, we have you. Wallah, you are my Rabb. Oh my Rabb, you are free from all types of faults. You are great. My Rabb. Rabbi. He gives the example of a person, a child, who says, Abba, 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 he wants some chocolate, he wants something from his father. Father doesn't pay any attention. But the moment you say, oh my father, oh my beloved father, oh my great father, immediately the father focuses attention on the child. Oh my son, what is it? What do you want? Here we are saying, Subhana Rabbi, oh my beloved Allah. So when you are performing your salat, when you're reading your salat, concentrate on Rabbi. And then see the enjoyment of your salat. Mawlana Fadhlur Rahman Granth Murad Abadi Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned to Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Ali. He said, Mia Ashraf Ali, jab main sajda karta hu to malum hota hai ki Allah Ta'ala ne mujhe pyar kar liya hai. Oh, Hazrat Ashraf Ali, when I make sajda, I enjoy my salah to such an extent that I feel as though my Allah is showering His love upon me. I can feel Allah is loving me. Imagine the condition of that salat. Time has expired already. Inshallah, we'll continue this beautiful nasihat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahabi, where he said, Salli salata muwaddi'in. There are many more things that I would have liked to have shared, but the time is up. Inshallah, we'll continue this hadith next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to beautify and make takmeel of our salat, perfect our salat now. It's not easy, not an overnight affair that we suddenly become, or we perfect our salat. It takes time for all of us. We are all trying to perfect our salat. And as we endeavor, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our salat more beautiful in such a way that mentioned in hadith, if a person perfects his salat, then Allah, the dua, that hadith gives dua to the person, حَفِذَكَ اللَّهَ كَمَا حَفِذْتَنِي. May Allah protect you like how you have protected me. Then the person also, he's safe on the fire of Jahannam. He gains entry into Jannat. All his sins are forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.